Well, good morning and welcome to Grace Bible Church here in Montgomery, Alabama. A great day to study the Word of God. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 3. And as you're turning there, just to kind of set this up, you know, I flew in yesterday to Mobile, Alabama, and was down there yesterday, and Ashton and I drove up this morning. So this morning I was in Mobile, but now I'm in Montgomery, Alabama. All right? Last week I was in Denver. But now, I am in Montgomery, Alabama. Something changed, but now. Okay, and that's the key phrase. Whenever you read in this Bible, when Paul says, but now, key, something is changing. Okay, and not just your geographical location, all right? So, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now something is changing. Something was going on before and is now changing. Flip over to Romans 16. The last book, last chapter in Romans. And the last couple verses here, we're going to start in verse 25. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Wow. Which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Verse 26, but now is made manifest. This is Romans 16. Okay, this was written about the time period of Acts chapter 20. But now is made manifest. Whoa, wait a minute. This is about 25 years after the crucifixion of Christ. And he's saying, but now is made manifest? Okay, so but now. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. And so to do that, so again, we when we study the Bible rightly divided, we know that, you know, way back, and I'm going to do the first part short, if you will, but so if we go back to Genesis, all right, and there's a period of about 4,000 years, and then we have the birth of Christ. 33 years later, we have the crucifixion of Christ. And, of course, in here we have four books we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, really talking about that time period in history, that 33 years, okay? And by the way, the three things we always talk about here, right, the principles, if you will, on how to study your Word, okay? So first of all, context. You've got to take it in context. We read the Miles Coverdale statement, and I guess if I was smart, I'd have had that thing ready. And since I don't, but basically, okay, it shall greatly help. And if you don't have a copy of this, bring it to the back. Thank you, William's holding them up. And perhaps when you're doing the internet, you can put this on there. Okay, it shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures, if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom. I want to emphasize the to whom, especially in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. To whom is he writing? And you're going to find that 90% of that, he's writing to 12 people, 12 men. Okay, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after. That was Miles Coverdale in the early to mid-1500s when he wrote that. One of the original translators, and the King James translators did use some of his work. He was not on that team. He was dead by the time of 1611. But context, take it in context, number one. Number two, when you study, be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Where it said, the Bible says they were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they searched the Scriptures to test whether those things were so. OK, Okay, never take any preacher that stands in front of you, teaches out of the Word. Don't take what they say. Mom and Daddy, don't take what they say. Grandma and Granddaddy, okay? What saith the Scriptures? Study, test those things, whether they were so or not. How key that is. Number three, what do you believe and why? Okay? You need to believe it because you see it in the Scripture, not because somebody taught it to you. It's got to be here. Okay? And I'll just say this. When, so 28 years or so ago, when I first thought maybe I was should be teaching the Word, I remember going to a class and Brother Moore taught it, and the first week he kind of scared the dickens out of me by showing me in Jeremiah the watchman analogy, and make sure that those things that you're teaching, you are fully confident because you're held accountable to a higher standard if you stand in front of people and teach them. Okay, so thanks everyone for being here. And again, now the reason, coming back to our timeline. All right, now, the next book after John is the book of Acts, and it does pick up from a historical standpoint right there at the cross. So go ahead and go to Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to put some years on here as well as we do this. But so the crucifixion, Acts chapter 1, we've got about 40 days where Christ is with, again, context, he takes the disciples, but there's only 11 of them, right? But Acts chapter 1, and this is about April of the year 29 A.D., is Acts chapter 1. So again, at the beginning, we have the Lord Jesus Christ spending 40 days or so with the apostles, and then he ascends on the 40th day into heaven. Then at the end of Acts chapter 1, they say, hey, what are we going to do? We've only got 11 of us. We need 12. Well, why did that matter? Well, let's take a look at why that mattered. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 19. And in Matthew 19, Peter, and of course, Peter being the more preeminent, if you will, of the 12 apostles. So in Matthew 19, verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, the Christ, is Christ. What shall we have therefore? Okay, stop for a minute. Peter's asking the Lord Jesus Christ, basically, what's our reward? We've forsaken everything to come follow you, the 12 of us. What's our reward? Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, the 12, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Right there is their reward. In that kingdom, if you will, in the future, that kingdom that is a future kingdom, these 12 will sit on 12 thrones judging those 12 tribes of Israel. That's their reward. Well, we know there's 12 tribes, and now we're down to 11 apostles. What do we do? So now back to Acts chapter 1. And so basically, at the end of Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 21, 22, they go on, they cast lots, and we all know that they then brought in kind of like the 13th apostle in, right? So this, to replace Judas, the 12th apostle, and the apostle Paul became the 12th apostle, right? What do you mean wrong? First, well, let's look at it, right? He tells us right here in verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon, Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, so Matthias replace Judas Iscariot, not Paul. Okay, yes, Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament. 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul, but he is not the 12th apostle. Matthias became that 12th apostle. So Matthias will sit on that throne in the future out there in that kingdom when Christ returns, and the 12 apostles are sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Anybody in here part of the 12 tribes? Okay. Of course, today, nobody is. Israel has fallen. Okay. Will they be back? Absolutely. Okay. But today, no. Well, wait a minute. Half the New Testament was written by this guy, Paul, right? And he's not the 12th apostle. Is it something different? I don't know. So let's look at this. Let's keep going. So Acts chapter 2. This is exactly 50 days. I'm just going to put plus 50 days. This is going to get real complicated. So Acts chapter 2 is 50 days after the crucifixion. Okay, after Pentecost. This is the day of Pentecost. Okay, so Acts chapter 2. I mean, Christ has just ascended into heaven, right? The 12, they've just got the 12th. They're getting on with the program now. Okay, time to get on with the program. You know, it's interesting that none of the, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, do they talk about what Christ taught those disciples during the 40 days right here after his resurrection from the dead, the 40 days he spent there. We are not shown anywhere in Scripture what Christ taught the 12. I know about you, I find that kind of interesting that the Scriptures have chosen, you know, the Lord chose not to really tell us much about that. That was between Christ and the 12. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there for what that's worth. Okay, but 50 days after the crucifixion, Acts chapter 2, we're getting on with it. Peter gives his murder indictment. You know, what does he tell? And by the way, who's here in Acts chapter 2? Let's go to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, okay, the other 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Who's he talking to? Jews. The Miles Coverdale statement. Get in context to whom is he speaking, because it will make a huge difference in what you're learning here. Again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most of the time he separates the 12 and he is talking to the 12. Okay? So a lot of those promises that you see in the four Gospels that many people like to claim, it wasn't to that church in general. It was the 12 men specifically. He was preparing those 12 men. Okay, so he gives his murder indictment here. And, of course, the famous verses 2:37 and 38 where he starts concluding. Now, when they heard this, okay, the Jews, the men at Judea, heard the murder indictment. That man that you, okay, let's actually read that part. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and sign, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified him, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. On and on he goes, okay? Verse 36. So he goes on and on. So therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he's showing them, that man you crucified right back here, he is Lord and Christ. That's Peter's message to them. Okay, so verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized it. We have messed up big time. We took that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We put him on that cross. That man that we hung on that cross, as Peter just told us, he is both Lord and Christ. Oh my goodness, what do we do? What is Peter telling them to do in verse 38? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, the famous verse there in 38 that Peter lays out. To whom? The Jews that were there, exactly. The men of Judea that were there. That's to whom he was speaking. Okay. Now let's move on here, chapter 3. And we may have moved ahead maybe a year. Okay? Time goes on, and you'll see Peter and John. Peter and John. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. Okay? Peter and John are taking the preeminent position in Scriptures at this time period. And they do miracles. Okay? Verse 7. Verse 8. Okay, basically, they're healing a man here. Verse 6, and okay, where do I want to start? Verse 3, okay, 3-3, Acts 3-3. Who, seeing Peter and John going into the temple, asked an alms. Okay, let me start in verse 1, I'm sorry. 3-1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb, from birth. Okay, he didn't just get lame later. He's been lame since birth. That's key. Was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Okay, he had to sit at the gate. He wasn't allowed in the temple because he was lame. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Some alms, right? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Entered with them into the temple. Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Okay, why? What's the significance of this? Hold your hand here and go back to Leviticus chapter 21. Chapter 21, Leviticus chapter 21. I'm going to talk about healings. One of the best ways to understand, if you're a banker, if somebody hands you a $100 bill, the best way to understand that and learn how to recognize counterfeit $100 bills is to study real $100 bills. Learn what a real $100 bill is all about. Much easier to then recognize a counterfeit. Learn what healings are all about. You know, we have how many hundreds of denominations in the world today? And they can all show you scriptures, what they believe and why. Well, can they all be right? Some believe in healings. The Bible sure has plenty of healings. We just read one of them, didn't we? And it was even after, it's even in the New Testament. It's even after Christ has left the earth. Peter and John, they healed this man. Here's why. 21, verse 16. Here's the purpose of healings in this Bible. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generation. Okay, Aaron. Okay, that's the tribe of the priests, right? Okay, to put it in context. In their generation that hath any blemish, let me start there again. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed, so Aaron's tribe, of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. Now here he names the blemishes. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or any man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crooked-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not the sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. You see the purpose of healings right there. That's why, in developing the kingdom of priests, we needed to heal people. Because if they're going to be a priest, they cannot go into the temple with a blemish. Okay, so now back to Acts chapter 3. That was the purpose of healings. And that in the future will be the purpose. When there is a kingdom of priests, again, that's why there has to be healings. Is anybody in here a Jewish priest? Anybody in here desire to be a Jewish priest? Okay, that's not the message for today. Different program. We're going to focus on the 13 chapters in this New Testament, almost half the New Testament the Apostle Paul wrote. Okay, back to chapter 3. So you get the idea. So in chapter 3, you know, first of all, we have the healing here. Same thing, verse 15, Peter's going to repeat the same thing. He killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead. Again, the murder indictment message. That's what Peter's been preaching. Verse 19, Peter concludes again, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. At some point in the future out here, Christ will return to earth. Times of restitution. At that time, these people are hoping and enduring to the end, as Peter taught them. This is when their sins are blotted out, as it says right here in verse 319, 20, and 21. Okay, that's when this group, again, to whom is he preaching? These Jews at this time. Okay, right here, again, we're about a year after the crucifixion at this time. That's why this will be a two-part. If you cannot be here next week, please go to our website at kjvgracebiblechurch.com and just send us an email. We'd be glad to send you the two DVD set. Or the one, a DVD with both the first part, second part to this, this series, if you will. Okay, so that's three, chapter three. Chapter four, still about a year after. Okay, we're just going on here, getting on with the program. Okay, Peter and John, again, the preeminence at this time. At the end of chapter four, so let me go ahead and put chapter four up here. Again, we're still about 1 year after the crucifixion. At the end of chapter 4, something interesting goes on here. Okay, 32. Let's start in verse 32. And the multitude of them. And if you went back, you'd see that's probably about 8,000 people. One time 3,000, another time 5,000 were added to the church, it says. Okay, so the multitude of them, about 8,000 people, that believed were of one heart, and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And again, you'll see some of those, just a few of those denominations, though, sell out. We've got to have all things common. Okay, so everybody go home today, you know, we're going to have all things common. Let's see how to do this here. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were oppressors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made every man according as he had need. Okay, everybody, go home, sell your houses. Next week, bring it up here. We'll have a bucket. And we should have a couple $100,000 in here. But don't worry, if you have need, we're going to distribute that back to you. Just like the scripture tells us, right? You got to take it in context. Okay? If we were this church that started right here, that's absolutely what we should be doing. We are not this church. Okay, now, because I'm less than 3 minutes, I'm going to stop and come back to this. But why does all this matter? This church had a different way to be saved. Repent and be baptized in Acts chapter 2, 38. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore. Okay, different way of being saved. The reason we rightly divide the word of truth is so that we know the gospel of our salvation. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the simple gospel of our salvation. Again, make sure you see it in the word, and we're going to talk about this as we expand the next couple chapters and what's going on. You see, Acts is a transitional book. And I'm going to say, from one church, that is the kingdom church, to a new church, yet in our discussions here, to be presented. But it's called the body of Christ, the church which is his body, the body of Christ. That is the church that's in existence today. This is the gospel by which ye are saved. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And here's the gospel, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died, not just died, like Peter said, but this one says, for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The difference of the gospel that Paul's going to preach than Peter, Peter said all this, but Paul says, no, when he died, he shed his blood. That blood paid the price for our sins. For our sins. That's the difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he talks about the reconciling of the world, he became sin for us, he who knew no sin. Okay? Trust in him, and you can be saved too.